entering into the millennial kingdom, people ruling and reigning with Christ, but the rest of the dead didn't live till after the 1,000 years. That's when they get resurrected, which means that the millennium begins with all believers. All those who enter into the millennium are either resurrected saints or mortals who are believers and made it through to the end of the tribulation period. No unbelievers. The unbelievers have died and they're awaiting their judgment.
The newly elected U.S. president is going to be sworn in next month. In fact, January is a time of new beginnings for a lot of people. The country will have a new president and people want to make changes to improve their world. Well, one day the world will be a better place, but it won't happen through a new president or New Year's resolutions. Skip Heitzig shares more about that today on The Connection. After the teaching, Skip and his wife Lenya encourage believers to be a shining light for Jesus.
All creation groans, Paul said, and looks forward to the time when we're going to be delivered. So we're looking for it. All of creation does. Every 4 years doesn't seem to make a huge dent in diminishing the groan we all feel for the glory.
The holidays can be a stressful time for many people, but we shouldn't lose sight of the true reason we celebrate Christmas. God, in His perfect love, becoming flesh and setting in motion His plan of salvation for the world. So how about giving a gift this holiday season that highlights God's unfailing love? The Jesus Loves People package includes the complete teaching series by Skip Heitzig, featuring impactful messages like Jesus Loves Prostitutes, Jesus Loves Atheists, Jesus Loves Homosexuals, and Jesus Loves Addicts. We know that Jesus radically loves people from all walks of life. So share this special series with someone who needs to feel His love in their life. The Christmas catalog also includes products like a Connection commemorative ornament, the Summer Heat Series by Skip's son, Nate Heitzig, and the 2017 Connection calendar featuring photographs of Israel taken by Skip. Order these items by calling 800-922-1888 or visiting connectiononline.org/offers.
Now, let's grab our Bibles and open it to Revelation chapter 20 as we join Skip for today's study.
If the kingdom is now, as the amillennialist says, if this is the kingdom of God, this is the millennium, then where are the Old Testament saints reigning? And where are the 12 apostles administering the 12 tribes of Israel? So you get into all sorts of interpretive quagmire when you go that route. Well, we have Old Testament saints reigning. We have the apostles given special administrative duty. Also, the New Testament says that New Testament believers will also rule and reign. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, get this. Paul writes, "Don't you realize that someday we believers will judge the world?" Whoa! We're going to judge the world. He goes on to say, "Don't you realize that we will judge angels?" Now, I don't think some of the angels are too crazy about that notion, but that's what it says. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, Paul writes to Timothy, "If we endure, we shall also reign with him." And there are many, many, many passages that say that. We just don't have enough time this morning to go through all of them. But here's a final one. In Revelation 5, when the church is gathered together and we're singing an anthem to God, among our lyrics in that song are these: "For you have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." So it couldn't be any more clear than that. Old Testament saints, apostles, and New Testament believers are going to be they and them ruling. You say, "Well, Skip, you left out a group." You're right. And that fourth group is mentioned in this verse. Notice the second sentence: "And I saw the souls of them who had been beheaded." And so it's as if to say they're included, but they're not the only group who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshiped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or their hands, and they lived. So they died, they were martyred, but now they're resurrected. They lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So all the tribulation believers who are martyred will also be among the they or the them. In other words, all the resurrected saints of all the ages will be ruling and reigning with Christ. Look at verse 6. We'll just sort of underscore that. "Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection." I'll explain in a minute. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So all of them, Old Testament saints glorified, New Testament saints glorified, resurrected, tribulation saints martyred, glorified, resurrected, and the apostles will all share in that administrative government. Then, and only then, will there be justice in the courts. Then there will be law on the streets. Then there will be truth in the media. Then book stands won't be filled with filth, but with truth and righteousness. And the media will project that which is true and holy. Now, some of you at this point might be thinking, man, that sounds like a lot of work. That's not my idea of heaven. You're thinking, look, I work now and I hope to retire when all the work is behind me. And maybe you have thought that heaven is like one eternal vacation where you do nothing. So you hear all this stuff about ruling and reigning and you're thinking, I got to work? This is not my idea of heaven. Well, it might not be, but it's God's idea of heaven. And keep in mind, you're going to be glorified. You'll be in a resurrected body. You're going to have the energy and the vim and youthfulness that maybe you once had. And it's going to be fun. Here's some insight, perhaps, into that. Jesus said in Luke 19, I will say to them, well done, good and faithful servant, because you've been trustworthy in a very small matter. Now take charge of 10 cities. And to another, I will say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. Now take charge of 5 cities. You can say, look, I really don't want to rule anything. I'm not good at being in charge. Well, you think you're going to mess up any more than what has been done already on this earth? And number two, do you think the apostles are like they're not the brightest bulbs in the bunch, and they're going to administrate the 12 tribes of Israel? So keep in mind, again, you're going to be in a glorified, resurrected, renewed state, and your capacities will be very different. So in some capacity, we're going to be ruling and reigning, having administrative duties, carrying out the will of the ultimate sovereign authority, Jesus Christ, somewhere on this earth. And let me just say now for the record, I get dibs on Maui, all right? Just want to get that out there right now. Or Kauai, either one. I'll take either one of those two islands. That'd be a cool place to have jurisdiction over. Look at verse 5. Verse 5 takes us to a third condition that underscores the political framework, and that is what I'm calling social stability. Now let's look at it. But the rest of the dead did not live again or get resurrected until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. Now, who are the rest of the dead? I mean, think about it. If the Old Testament saints who are dead have been resurrected and are reigning, if the New Testament saints who have died and are resurrected and reigning, if the tribulation martyred believers are now resurrected, and the apostles who have died and are resurrected, who does that leave? Unbelievers, the rest of the dead. Now keep this in mind. There's not just a resurrection for believers. There is a resurrection for unbelievers as well, so that they can eternally endure what God metes out to them in terms of judgment and condemnation. Look at verse 11. It tells us their fate. And I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, this is the rest of the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things that are written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. The death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. And then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So, John, who writes this book, John tells us, calls the believer's resurrection to life the first resurrection, which would mean the second resurrection 1,000 years later for unbelievers is the second resurrection. This is consistent with all of Scripture. Daniel chapter 2 or 12, verse 2, the prophet writes, "Many who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake," that's resurrection, "some to everlasting life," that's the first resurrection, "and some to shame and everlasting contempt," that's the second resurrection. Jesus said the same thing, John chapter 5, verse 28, "For the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth." That's the resurrection. "Those who have done good to the resurrection of life," that's the first resurrection. "And those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation," that's the second resurrection. And here's my point. Entering into the millennial kingdom, people ruling and reigning with Christ, but the rest of the dead didn't live till after the 1,000 years. That's when they get resurrected. Which means that the millennium begins with all believers. All those who enter into the millennium are either resurrected saints or mortals who were believers and made it through to the end of the tribulation period. No unbelievers. The unbelievers have died and they're awaiting their judgment. You say, well, what happened to them all? Well, they were destroyed by the cataclysmic, catastrophic judgments of the tribulation. And if you've ever read that book, you know that in one judgment, a third of mankind is destroyed, and another, a fourth of mankind is destroyed. They either died then, or they were executed at the Battle of Armageddon, chapter 19, or they were banished in the sheep and goat judgment, the judgment of the nations outlined in Matthew 25. So they're gone. Also, who's bound for 1,000 years? Satan. So if you get all unbelievers out of the way and Satan banished for 1,000 years, you now have extremely stable social conditions, right? Extreme social stability. And Isaiah put it this way, "The earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as waters cover the sea." And to boot, all of the politicians are going to be resurrected saints. I know it's real hard to imagine. There were three guys that were having an argument. They were trying to argue about whose profession was the oldest profession. And the first one to speak was a surgeon. He said, well, mine is the oldest profession because we read in the Bible that God carved a rib out of Adam and made a woman. So that makes my profession, that of a surgeon, the oldest on earth. Well, the second guy among the three was an engineer. He said, go back further. The Bible says that in 6 days, God created the earth out of chaos. That's the job of an engineer. Well, the third guy in the group was a politician who, when he heard that, smiled real big and said, but who created the chaos? Well, there will be no chaos for that 1,000 years because it will be the resurrected believers, apostles, Old Testament, New Testament, martyr, tribulation, saints, glorified, resurrected, who will monitor and help and adjudicate all of those mortals who are on the earth during that time. They're going to populate the earth, and there's going to be generations born and more generations born and 1,000 years of repopulating the planet. Now, those mortals, though all believers, will have children who also have a free will, and grandchildren and great-grandchildren will also have a free will. And they'll have the chance to receive or reject Jesus Christ. And some will receive and some will reject, because we read here in our text that we don't have time to go through it today. There will be a rebellion even at the end of the 1,000 years. Now, the last couple days, I know you've been watching some of it yourselves. I've been watching the Olympics. I love watching the Olympics. And the camera angles they have today are like much cooler every time a new Olympics is on, right? Well, I read an interesting little article that said the security in Beijing is so tight. They've installed 300,000 security cameras to cover every inch of Beijing. And the software employed in these 300,000 cameras, they have face recognition software. This is the highest tech security ever. Plus, they have 30,000 police officers and army roaming the streets, top security. The other night was the opening ceremony. Did any of you catch that? 90,000 people, 203 nations with their flag. It was beautiful. Now, in the audience, our president, Vladimir Putin, the head of state of Japan, prime ministers from around the world, all of these different politicians who may not agree and may not get together under any circumstance, but there they are together. It was almost as if it were a little smidgen of the millennium. I mean, I was deceiving myself maybe for a moment, and I'm thinking of there's peace and there's unity and there's all these leaders. Of course, that was all shattered by reading the paper the next day when there was a murder that took place of an American by a terrorist, and his tour guide was also murdered. So with all of the security personnel, all of the cameras, it didn't exist. There will be peace and security. And how it's all going to work, I don't know. You know, I got to tell you, my mind sort of goes to a movie that was put out a few years ago, The Minority Report. Anybody see that? Anybody as carnal as I am sees movies? So one of the premises is that there's these precogs, and they can tell if a violent crime is about to be committed. They can see sort of the thoughts of people, and even before it's committed, they stop it. I don't know what kind of capacities we're all going to have as resurrected beings during that 1,000 years on earth, but it must be pretty special because we're going to rule and reign with him, the Bible says, with a rod of iron. It's an ironclad, immediate judicial reign. It'll be very, very cool. Well, let's look at verse 6 and finish this off. The fourth and final mark politically during this period is there's a spiritual invincibility. Look at verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection, mentioned in verse 5 also. Over such, the second death, that's what happens to unbelievers, has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to face the first resurrection, the resurrection to life. You will never face, ever, eternal death. And this is an answer to a question I got a couple weeks ago, and somebody said, so how does it work? Like in the millennium, are we going to be able to like blow it and sin and then we get banished? No way. You're going to have glorified, resurrected body without the capacity to sin. Without the capacity to sin. There's no little trial period where, you know what, I gave you those five cities. You really blew it big time. You're out of here. Not at all. At this point, you're spiritually invincible. You'll never be judged for sin. You will always be serving him. As Paul wrote, he will save us from the wrath that is to come. So this leaves a question that I have been, well, skirting or putting off for a few weeks. And here's the question. Okay, so with all this perfection on earth, 1,000 years, peace, wow. Why verse 7? Why would God allow verse 7? And when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison. I got to tell you, I'll be honest, I don't like that verse. This is one of the imponderables of Scripture. But I love what Dr. Lewis Sperry Schaefer, who was the dean of Dallas Seminary, once said. If you tell me why God released him the first time, then I'll tell you why God releases him the second time. I think there's good wisdom in that. It's probably for the same reasons, or at least in part. Now, I'm going to give you an answer, and I've been saying for a couple of weeks, oh, we'll look at that next week. Oh, we'll look at that next week. Well, I've run out of weeks. So I got to give you something, and it probably won't be a satisfying answer. There's a couple things I can think of. Number one, this is going to demonstrate that even after 1,000 years of incarceration, the nature of the devil has not changed. He's still a rebel. He wants to bring people down. He wants to disgrace God, and he will start a rebellion, an insurrection. Number two, this is going to demonstrate that the essential nature and character of man doesn't change either. Even in the perfect environment, even in utopia, where all the weapons are banished and turned into agricultural implements, where there's peace and utopia, You know, for years, people have said, well, if you just put a person in the perfect environment, they're going to act perfect. Well, they're going to have a perfect environment. And yet some will choose to go in this rebellion, the rest of these verses say. Jeremiah was right. The human heart is most deceitful and desperately wicked. So, I have a suggestion. Since it says in verse 6, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection, here's my suggestion. Make sure you take part in the first resurrection. How do I do that? By today, here and now, making a choice to receive Christ as Savior and Lord. Now, there's a little formula that I've used based on this verse. It goes like this. If you're born once, you'll die twice. If you're born twice, you'll die once. I'll explain it very simply. If you're only born once, and obviously we all have been because here we are living and breathing. But if you're only born once physically, but never reborn spiritually, John chapter 3, you must be born again. You will die twice, physically and eternally. It's called the second death. But if you're born twice, physically and spiritually, at best you'll only die once, physically. But never a second death, never eternally. So my firm, strong, loving suggestion is make sure you take place in the first resurrection. So God is going to rule the universe through his son, Jesus Christ. But the Bible seems to indicate that ruling the universe is a family business. He wants to extend that to all of his children who trust in him. Are you in his family? Have you trusted Christ?
It's only through trusting in Jesus that you can see, experience, and be a part of the heavenly kingdom and the thousand-year reign of Christ. If you want to know more about that, give us a call, 800-922-1888. Now let's go into the studio with Skip and Lenya as they encourage us to shine the light of Jesus.
We recently elected a new president, and it happens every 4 years. And so the president of the United States, and of course, this person isn't perfect, nor were the people before who will come after.
Yep.
In truth, any person we could have elected certainly wouldn't be perfect. But one day, Christ will reign as the perfect King of Kings.
That's the great
Even
news.
So, come quickly, right? In the meantime, what are some things we can do to be shining the light of Jesus in our country?
Well, let me say a couple things. Starting out. First of all creation groans, Paul said, and looks forward to the time when we're going to be delivered. So we're looking for it. All of creation does. Every 4 years doesn't seem to make a huge dent in diminishing the groan we all feel for the glory. Second, God's kingdom does not depend on the political structure or outcome of an American election.
We forget that.
We do forget that. And we kind of think that, you know, there's a Christian side and God's on our side as a party. And God's kingdom is so far removed from the political structure. Certainly, he works in the people and in the politics, but he's so far above that. So I look at it this way. There's enough pain, indifference, and hatred to go around. So when God's people alleviate the pain, refuse to be indifferent, and love rather than hate, then you're letting light into a dark world.
You know, I have been studying Joshua, and he was pretty freaked out because Moses had died. Mm-hmm. That's how it begins, and he was going into the promised land, and God kept saying, be strong and courageous, because clearly it was going to be rough. Who can match up to Moses? And, you know, you think the year King Uzziah died that Isaiah was freaked out. But at both of those circumstances, it was an opportunity when they got to see God personally, regardless of who the king was or who the leader was. And so there was this great quote that said, when men of God die, nothing of God dies. Mm. And we forget that. You know, we think that it's such a human thing that we need a man or a woman or somebody there that's going to carry this torch. But God has carried this torch for thousands of years. And he's got a good handle on the church and where the world is going.
Yeah. I mean, you quoted Isaiah, and I love that passage. No matter who's sitting in the White House, God's on the throne of his house. And in my Father's house, there are many mansions, and there's something prepared for us. But we just have to realize the darker it gets, the more noticeable the light is. So we have an opportunity like never before.
We're blessed when we hear reports of changed lives. One Connection listener said, "Skip, I've been so blessed by your biblical teachings. You and your ministry are so special and a great blessing for all around the world." You can help us make Connection resources and teachings available to more people. Will you partner with us? Visit connectiononline.org/give or call 800-922-1888 to give an end-of-year gift.
Tune in tomorrow when Skip points out some surprising things about heaven that you might not know about. Be sure to join us.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His word. Make a connection. Connection.
The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.